Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 373, top of the day to you, Tox.
Top of the day to you.
How's it going?
Pretty good, thanks. Busy as usual.
Yeah. You know what? I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
As soon as you said busy, I was like, I know what the rest of this sentence is. Well, you'll be pleased to know that I've got a nice fun quiz for you. It's about Drew Barrymore.
Oh, I like her.
She's good. So
I really like her.
That'll be good. We've watched the same thing.
We have.
So we can discuss
Surprisingly,
that.
You just mentioned in passing and I was like, I have watched that.
Twin Watchers, that's
Twin
what we
watchers.
Are.
Leo, you've got a producer here today.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll find it important to explain stuff that he's watching.
Yeah.
At some point in time.
So professional. He is excelled in watching.
Oh, yeah.
He watches a lot.
He watches more than anyone I know.
But currently watching a Christmas movie.
Okay.
Because
in February.
What he wanted.
Yeah, fair enough. Why not? Tis the season if you feel like it. All right, let's get into this thing that I like to call. Actually, do you like to call it as well?
I love to call it.
The watching suggests. No.
No. No, no, no.
No.
I mean, I
love that as well.
But I prefer the news to come first.
Okay. Would you want to say?
Sorry, I can't pronounce it properly.
Sorry.
My mistake.
News.
Well done.
Thanks.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
Bill Skarsgård is one of the Skarsgårds in Hollywood who hail from the place that we like to call Scandinavia. And there are a lot of movies, all three of them, the dad and the two boys that I know of. There are probably others.
Yeah.
But they're the two that I know of. Anyway, Bill and Murray Bartlett. Do you remember him? He was the Aussie guy in The White Lotus, the manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're part of the cast for The Death of Robin Hood. Now,
ooh.
Hugh Jackman, Jodie Comer, they're the stars.
Okay.
And then they're filming it in Ireland, like they should be filming it right this very second. And it's about a battle-worn loner. Oh, I wonder who that could be.
Mm.
Grappling with his past after a life of crime and murder, who finds himself gravely injured at the hands of a mysterious woman who offers him a chance at salvation.
Well then.
A couple of Aussies in there.
There are quite a few.
Yeah, so that's exciting. Robin Hood. I guess everybody has to do the accent. I don't know what the accent
Which
will be.
Which one are they going to choose?
Will it be
Irish?
How are you? Or will it be a Northern England? No, I don't know exactly.
Scandinavian?
Sure, let's just do their own
accents. Just go flat out Ocker.
yeah, mate, no worries about that. I think that sounds like Hugh Jackman trying to do something that's a little bit Wolverine but not Wolverine and something a little bit low-key so that isn't like the greatest showman or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we all know he can do.
Yeah.
Because he's amazing.
Triple threat. Triple threat. Classic. Oh, cool. Rob Liefeld is the bloke, don't eat that, that created Deadpool over 35 years ago.
What?
Yeah, the comic.
Oh, okay.
He said that Marvel is basically dead to him. He wasn't invited to the party at the premiere of Deadpool and Wolverine last year.
Oh, okay.
He said it went
sour grapes.
Yeah, well, he said it was meant to embarrass, diminish and defeat me. This is what he said on his podcast. And he said he recalled being ignored by Kevin Feige, who's like the boss of Marvel Studios, on the red carpet before finding out that he and his family weren't invited to the after party. And he said that was pretty much a final straw. He said that he had photos taken on the red carpet and then they just never saw the light of day. They just happened to pick that. Didn't go anywhere, and he reckons they just took it to appease him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He said at some point you got to go, all right, I've received the message and the message is clear.
When people tell you who they are, believe them.
He said Marvel's treatment of creators has never been their strength. Without the worlds, the characters and the concepts that we create, and in this specific case the world of Deadpool – There's no films to shoot, no blockbusters to distribute. He said, I am the human imagination behind it all.
Mm.
That sucks. You know, something that you've been, that's been a part of you for 35 years and then.
I mean, you might pay rights for someone's intellectual property, their creativity, their ideas, all of that.
Yeah, so that may not be theirs, but invite them to.
Shun a person.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, inviting somebody to a party is not difficult, is it?
The end of the world? I wouldn't have thought so.
Maybe they didn't realise it was the end of the world either.
Look, maybe there's stuff that they thought or they believe that he did. I don't know. I don't know too much about the.
Maybe they thought inviting him to the premiere and the red carpet was enough that he wouldn't want to come to the after party because he wasn't part of the filming.
The actual production. Yeah, that's true.
You know, there's two sides to every story.
Oh, of course. Of course. But there's only one side to this, and the side is that we like Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, we do.
She was talking about.
We drew.
We really drew. We really drew. Yeah. She was talking about. Like best on-screen kiss when she was on Watch What Happens, you know, the Andy Cohen. Yeah. He said who's been your best on-screen kiss? And she said, I mean, I love that Adam Sandler and I are so platonic. We've never dated. His wife Jackie and I are really good friends.
Yeah.
She said, but I love being in films with him because I think we're representing something bigger than just the hot sexual chemistry. We're representing true admiration for another person.
Yeah.
And he said, she said that their families have actually sat down and watched 50 First Dates together. Yeah. So they've seen a lot of the first kisses, at least her first kiss, you know, the character. Mama. I think in that movie there's so many first kisses for her. Like, have they sat down and gone, which one's the best?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I like that movie, but I haven't watched it in so long.
Mm, same. It's been a long time. I liked it, but not as much as The Wedding Singer. I always liked The Wedding Singer more.
Did you?
Yeah. Are you the other way around?
I think I'm the other way around. The Wedding Singer was hilarious, like laugh out loud funny. But I think there was something endearing about 50 First Dates.
Yeah.
And the location obviously added to just
that was nice.
Feeling of something different.
Mm.
Well, it wasn't as corny.
Yep. I actually, if you asked me where what city The Wedding Singer was set in, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I have absolutely no idea.
Like you could guess it would be like Philadelphia, Chicago.
Yeah,
like that. I don't know.
No idea. We'll be looking at Drew Barrymore stuff later on and you've got to try and figure out what it is.
That's not a question.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. It's not. We've got to get into these watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
All right. So we watched a movie separately, but it was the same movie.
Mm.
And it is a new Amy Schumer.
Yes.
Movie at Netflix, bit of both, right?
It's called Kinda Pregnant.
Kinda Pregnant. Yeah.
Sorry. Kinda Pregnant.
Kinda.
We say kinda.
Kinda Pregnant.
Kinda Pregnant.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So she is a teacher of early high school, maybe junior high, they would probably call it there.
Mm.
And her best friend is pregnant and she's like, oh, but I always imagined that I would be the one that would be pregnant and that you would try to be pregnant and struggle and then have to try and adopt or something like that. And
yeah.
She's like, well, okay, say that.
So specific.
All of that out loud. Anyway, in the world of comedic movies, she does something really stupid and sticks to it. She wears one of those fake baby bumps.
Mm.
And decides to go to a pregnant woman's yoga class.
Well, she likes the attention she got. She just tried it on. It was in a change room. She put it on and liked the attention.
Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah, the going to a pregnancy yoga class is another level.
It was another
level. But, you know,
a
bit of curiosity never hurt anybody.
Made a little jump.
But then she continued to wear it.
She absolutely continued, made friends with somebody at the pregnant yoga class.
Who is actually pregnant.
Who is actually pregnant, becomes friends with that circle, has a love interest in Will Fort, who I think is Fort? I've never thought about it. But he's all, when you see him in something, you're like,
yeah,
this is going to be good. But someone who I was really impressed, Ursula Carlson's in there. And she's doing her accent.
She's doing her accent. I have to say, though, for me, her character was the Adam Sandler humor that I don't particularly enjoy, that I know a lot of people love. It's the silly, crude, slightly unnecessary, but just these moments where you're like, oh, why would you say that? Why are you doing that?
She almost reminded me a little bit of the character, Melissa McCarthy's character in Bridesmaids.
Yes.
Not as serious, though. No, she's very serious in Bridesmaids, very serious.
She was a more well-rounded character, I feel, Melissa McCarthy. But it was good to see that she had her accent. And I feel like Amy Schumer appreciates other, particularly women's comedy, and she puts them into her movies.
I feel like that those two were doing a little bit of improvising together in scenes as well.
Yeah, yeah. I know the scene that you're talking about.
Yeah. I thought that was good. I thought it was funny. There were bits where I genuinely laughed out loud. It was a stupid premise. There's a bit with a turkey and I was like, wait till the turkey drops, and it did. And that made me laugh a lot. There are a couple of other characters that you're just like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Yeah. Shirley is the character I'm talking about. Yeah. The younger teacher at school, you're like, you are so annoying.
So annoying.
And you're going to continue to be annoying, and her husband is even more annoying. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
And there were lines in there that didn't feel movie-esque.
Yeah.
You know, in the character arc where she's, you know, trying to redeem herself. Yeah. And characters are like, I think you might be psycho. Like, and you kind of go, yeah, that's what you'd be thinking.
That's exactly what she is.
Instead of being like, she is weird. No, you just went through a tough time.
And she is strange.
It's like, this is a weird psycho behavior that you've done.
I won't say exactly what was happening in the scene, but there was a scene with a garage door and a family. And as that door was going, like as the door was shutting again, the little wave by the obviously the father of the family. Yeah. Oh, it made me laugh. It was so like,
it was so
okay,
awkward.
Bye.
I'm not sure how to react. I'll just
bye. I guess bye. I'll see you later. Yeah, on Netflix. Would you say what day of the week would you watch it?
It's a Thursday.
A Thursday night watch. Yeah,
you need something light, fun. Yeah. Give you a giggle.
Bit takeaway. Takeaway.
Yeah.
And watch that. Amy Schumer always manages to do that awkward but with confidence.
Yeah.
She knows she's being weird.
Yep.
But she's decided she's going to carry through and just be really awkward.
Complete confidence in her awkwardness. Yep. I like her movies.
Me too. Yeah. I liked her show as well. That was awkward. What else have you watched?
I watched another Netflix production, which I had said a couple of weeks ago I was going to watch, and that's Apple Cider Vinegar.
Oh, yeah.
So it is a series developed about Bell Gibson. Now, for anyone who's outside of Australia, they might not know, but Bell Gibson is well known for fooling the world into thinking she has brain cancer, and she developed an app called The Whole Pantry that was so successful because of this tragic trauma background that she has, that The Whole Pantry was one of the included apps on one of the new releases of the Apple phone back when it happened.
Yeah, right.
So it was massive. She was raking in the zeros, Mommy. As in many zeros, not just zeros. So, yeah, this is a series about her. Now, I have listened to the audiobook or read the book, which is about the Bell Gibson saga called The Girl Who Fooled the World or something. And what's really difficult about Bell Gibson's story is that you can't quite ever tell where the line of truth stops where the lies begin.
Merged.
It's really merged. It's really gunky. She never quite answers a question, but at the same time answers enough that people move on. Mm. There's a famous 60 Minutes episode where they've gone in to like confront her and just ruin her story, and it
and they're like, she's literally being asked, how old are you?
Yes.
And she's just going around in circles.
She's
like, it's an easy question.
How old are you?
Yes. She still doesn't answer, does she?
Which hospital did you go to?
Yeah,
that sort of stuff.
Okay, so she's a strange character.
A very strange character. So one where you go,
Mommy, I need to wipe.
Pico.
He's wiping his leg because it has some ice block on it, does it?
Yeah.
Thank you. So it's always going to be a bit of a murky story, but I think Netflix have done it really well in that the way they're telling the story, it flips in timeline often. So you've got to be on with it. There's another character who's going through a cancer diagnosis and another wellness journey, and she's obviously there to sort of juxtapose Belle's story.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting, and it's such a small factor, but it's a factor I really liked, is the beginning of every episode. One of the main characters starts the episode and then breaks the fourth wall,
okay.
Talks directly to camera.
Yeah, right.
And essentially, within their own lines, says, this is a true story based on lies.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's real. Some of the characters have been made up.
Okay.
And then flawlessly goes straight into the story. And it's really interesting. I like that it's a different character every episode.
Yeah,
and it feels real.
So Caitlin Denver plays Belle. Yeah. She's an American
actress. She's an American.
Now, she's going to be one of the main characters in The Last of Us season two. How was her accent?
Okay. If you didn't know she was American, you'd think she's Australian.
Oh, wow.
She is phenomenal.
That's awesome.
Nailed it.
Really good to hear.
This one.
I wouldn't like it either. Alicia Denham carries Miller, I believe.
Yes.
Now, she was in Fear the Walking Dead and a whole heap of other stuff as well. She is actually an Australian.
She's actually Australian. She so she does her accent really well.
She doesn't have to do the accent. So you've just powered through, it sounds
powered
like.
Through. I've got one episode left.
Great.
Couldn't watch it last night because I went out for dinner.
Yeah, party
But I've got one. It's good. Now, the thing about the Netflix disclaimer done through the characters, I don't know, but I'm making an assumption that I wonder if that was put in after the whole controversy with Baby Reindeer.
Oh, maybe.
Where the real person sued Netflix. So it's an interesting spin, but it's a clever way of doing it.
Yeah.
This is Netflix. What would you like? Paw Patrol?
Oh, Paw Patrol. We could do a review on that a little bit later.
Do you want me to put on the Polar Express?
So I watched Girl Boss,
nice.
Which is not new. It's from about 2017.
No.
And it's kind of, I don't know, you know, you look through them and you're like, I've seen that, I've seen that, I've seen that. And then you're like, oh, no, I haven't seen that one. And that was Girl Boss for me. It's actually a show that I reckon you would like. I was surprised you hadn't already watched it.
Say again when it was from, 2013?
2017.
Do you know, I feel like I have.
It really is your kind of show.
Tell me what it's about.
Okay, so Nasty Gal founder.
Yeah.
Sophia, it's about her. It's like a memoir, like a little bit fictional, but basically about her and how she started her vintage clothing.
I think I have seen this. But
keep
going.
Keep going. It was I didn't realize that it had been produced by Charlize Theron, which I thought was really cool. And I realized that there's not that many things that I have seen recently, and by recently I mean the past 10 years, that are set in San Francisco. When I think about San Francisco, I think of, you know, lots of sitcoms and movies all set in San Fran, you know, Full House, Mrs. Doubtfire, like all of those ones, you know, with
it's having its moment.
Chasing car scenes going down up and down the hills. And it's not really that prevalent now.
No.
I wonder if it's more expensive to film there. I'm not sure.
Potentially.
Yeah, exactly. But I really liked it. There's only 13 episodes. It really did feel like it came to an end because she was like, okay, I've now kind of done it. Now this is the next chapter of my life. And now I kind of want to look and see how many of those characters are real.
Real
or
people.
Or if I can figure out if they're real.
Yeah.
But, I thought it was a nice light watch. I watched episode after episode after episode.
Nice.
There are a lot of people in the cast of supporting characters who you go, oh, that's Norm MacDonald. That's, you know, RuPaul's in it. And they're not in every single episode, but they kind of prop it up every time they come in. You're like, oh, that's really cool. They're in it. Dean Norris plays the dad, and he was the brother-in-law in Breaking Bad. He was the cop or the FBI. I can't actually remember. It's been a while since I've seen it. But, yes, Girl Boss. Now it's time to get into what I like to call the quiz. This one's about Drew Barrymore. I was going to say films. Are they all films or some of them? Some of them are TV shows as well because she's been a bit
she's
busy.
She's TV?
A lot of stuff.
Oh, no, yep. I'm going to fail.
I'm going to do the classic. I'll read the synopsis. You have to tell me who it not who it is. You have to tell me.
Drew Barrymore.
No, that's it.
It's Drew Barrymore.
It's Drew Barrymore. In Bodine, Texas, an indie rock-loving misfit finds a way of dealing with small-town misery after discovering a roller derby league in nearby Austin.
I don't know. Give me a clue.
Okay.
Give me the initials.
W-I. Two words.
Women, Inc.
Something. It. Da-na-na-na-na.
Work it.
You can... And the people in the town, they must...
I don't know.
Whip it.
Oh, Whip It. I don't think I've heard of that one, to be honest.
You would have seen at least the ads for it. I remember it being quite successful. Back in the day, it had Elliot Page in it and Drew Barrymore and a few others.
Okay.
A year after the murder of her mother, a teenage girl is terrorized by a masked killer who targets her and her friends by using scary movies as part of a deadly game.
That's Scream.
She's in it.
Yeah. She is.
Do you want, just out of interest, do you want to guess what year?
1996.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, 96.
Thanks.
How many of them do you reckon you've seen? I think I just saw the three. Yeah, I saw the three.
Scared every time. Why am I seeing through this?
Yeah, why? Why
I don't
am
like
I doing
scary
it to
movies,
myself?
But here
Gosh,
I am again.
Here I
have,
what's going on?
I mean, I'm a fan of this Scream series.
It's my number one. A troubled child summons the courage to help a friendly alien escape from Earth and return to his home planet.
That's E.T.
Mm-hmm.
Such a friendly child.
Have a guess? Yeah.
82.
Yes. Sheila and Joel are married real estate agents who live and work in Santa Clarita, California. When Sheila dies, their lives take a dark turn.
Santa Clarita Diet.
Yeah.
I vividly remember saying to you, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I remember
I started watching this show. You need to watch it.
Big time. It was 2017 as well, so that was the same year as Girl Boss.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it must have just been around the time when potentially Australia got Netflix, or would you have seen it on Foxtel maybe? Because I know Foxtel was getting a lot of Netflix stuff before Netflix came out here.
I feel like we had Netflix then.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Yeah. A newspaper reporter enrolls in high school as part of a research for a story.
Never Been Kissed.
Yes. Have a guess?
97?
Nine.
Oh, I was going to say, oh, that's so annoying. I was going to say 99 that's, and then I dropped it down.
Forgotten everyone. Oh, by the way, Whip It was 2009.
Okay.
Final one. Robbie, a singer, and Julia, a waitress, are both engaged, but to the wrong people. Fortune intervenes to help them discover each other.
The Wedding Singer.
Have a guess?
2001?
Yeah, I was struggling with this. It's 1998. Betty's here.
Betty's here.
Hi, Betty. Yeah, 1998. So that means that she had actually done Scream first.
And when was Charlie's Angels?
That was afterwards, okay. I believe. Yeah. I think it was it was after.
It was in a year.
It was in a year. That's it. Do you know why I'm only saying that? Because I've already closed the tab.
It's all right.
Look, a lot has happened and we successfully watched a lot of things. So good on us.
Yeah.
And
on to new things.
On to new things now. Maybe I'll eventually get to the animated ones I was talking about. I've been watching a few animated series, so maybe I'll get around to watching them, talking about them next week. Yeah.
Okay.
On that note, Henry, thank you very much.
Thank you.